You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back. Stay tuned as Dave and John continue to wander through the music that has been the background to their lives. Virgin Records in Corporation Street in Birmingham, that they always had all the tickets there. And you could go, oh, I'll have one of those and one of those.
Yeah.
And you just bought them there. And it was so much simpler to do it in those days.
It wasn't the lottery like it is now.
And in fact, if you were going to the Town Hall in Birmingham, you could normally, most times you could turn up on the night and just go to the box office and buy a ticket and walk in.
Exactly the same for me, because I lived about half a mile away from the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And you could, most nights you could turn up at the Rainbow, unless it was a huge act, and you'd get in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which seems incredible now, doesn't it?
Well, compared to these days, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you before, I went in the first time I saw Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
The Birmingham Town Hall was a third full at the most.
Yeah.
Nobody had heard of them. I went along, having seen them on the Ogrewis test for one number.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic, and so many people missed out on that, you know.
But then the difference, of course, is nowadays it's a huge production. You know, it's a massive light show, there are back projections.
Yeah.
And in those days, it was just a band playing. You went along for the music.
All we wanted,
you didn't
to,
go along
all we
for the
wanted,
light show.
All we wanted was them to shuffle on in their
dry
denims.
Dry ice and all that sort
shuffle
of thing.
On in their denims, pick their instruments up,
lights
go down, a couple of spotlights on them, start playing.
And
that's
they turned up
wanted.
In a transit van, unloaded their gear themselves. Whereas nowadays, they've got the next two venues, they've got stage sets already set
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, so there's something lost there, I think.
Oh, totally, And of course, I suppose the band that we've seen many times, that we obviously share a great affection for, is Stackridge.
Yes. Are they the band you've seen the most?
I think they probably are,
they
really.
Probably are. I mean, probably Ace would be second for me, because they were always in the pubs in London, and I loved them. They're a great band live.
Yeah.
But Stackridge, yes, I think, because Stackridge had their second coming.
Yeah. Well, we saw them in all their iterations, didn't we really?
Did, yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing them at Yeovil's Johnson Hall when I was probably early 20s at the most, and when they were probably in their least enjoyable phase.
Do you think we just chanced upon them the first time in the tavern?
In the tavern? Totally. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We didn't know what they were, didn't know anything about them. Went to the tavern, they were on a Friday night, whatever it was.
Because they were just supremely silly, weren't they?
Very silly,
and loved that.
But lovely melodies.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when a band in those days comes on and plays a song like Anyone for Tennis, I've got a brand new case of tennis elbow.
Yeah.
You just thought, what on earth is this? But it was so well played. It was so musically intelligent. And then, you know, that you think.
But then they had the banging the dustbin lids.
Let there be lids.
It sort of appealed to our sort of stupid sense of humour, I think.
Yeah.
And we sort of fell in love with them. I mean, because the tavern, I remember seeing Vinegar Joe there.
Vinegar Joe.
Renaissance played the tavern.
Yeah, I remember seeing them.
You know, so having said that we were in a wasteland, that's not strictly true, because I mean, Vinegar Joe were astonishing with Elkie Brooks and Robert Palmer.
Absolutely, yeah. Robert Palmer in a very secondary role.
Yeah.
Sort of harmony vocals and a bit of rhythm guitar, really, wasn't it?
Do you remember a band that played at the tavern and you and I and Alan, or maybe just Alan and me, got up on stage and played tambourine with them?
I
remember that.
I do remember it, yes.
I don't think they were a name band. No? They let us climb up on stage with them. Quite embarrassing, really. Because afterwards I said, oh, that's really good. Let me buy you all a drink.
Yeah.
I must have been about 17. And so they all wanted shorts, and it cost me a bloody fortune. And it was virtually all the money I had on me, you know, and I didn't have any money for the next few weeks. But it was fun.
But, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you say, oh, it was embarrassing, but having said that, we probably had a lot to drink at the time, but it would have seemed like a rum fantastic thing. Yeah. Oh, no. Rum and Black didn't stay down very long, John. Rum and Black painted the toilets in the gents.
We generally went for the music, didn't we?
We did, really.
Being quite innocent boys, you know, instead of going along to school, you know, we would be there to appreciate the music.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, that was, well, we say that because you say that without being there, not being there to score, we'd have loved to have scored.
Of course, we would.
But that wasn't very likely, was it?
No, it wasn't very likely. So it's a good job we enjoyed the music. And then all back to Tony's afterwards.
Oh, yes.
To listen to Ossibisa.
Ossibisa and the first side of Thick as a Brick.
Thick as a Brick, that's right, it was a mass. I mean, music was just sort of the most important thing in our lives.
Well, I think it was. I think we were of a generation that put an awful lot of store by what music you liked and what music you could appreciate. And I think we did appreciate it more than than sometimes people do today. I mean, today it's very manufactured. It's very much formulaic.
Yes.
We were quite fascinated by the instrumental dexterity of the people we went to see. Because, as we've often said before, if you got up on stage and you couldn't play, you would be booed off, bottled off sometimes with bottles of what used to be
at
lager and wasn't lager
at festivals,
anymore.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading something the other day about one of the early, well, sort of mid to late 70s festivals where a band got on stage, the audience didn't like them, and you know, bottles of urine rained down on them.
Yes.
To say, basically, clear off, we don't like you. You know, you're not what we want to hear.
Mm.
And that was pretty much how it was in those days, because we, as you remember from the festival we went to at Reading, first of all, we were quite happy to sit on the floor and listen to what was being played.
That's right.
And appreciate it. We didn't feel the need to get up and dance about a lot of the time.
For the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ended up with girlfriends.
Yes, indeed. Well, yeah. Some for longer than others.
True, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that was our first festival, which is obviously a question, isn't it? And
It was my only proper festival, I've got to be honest.
I don't quite know who would have suggested that originally.
No.
But what were we, 17? 18?
It was 1972.
Yeah,
18.
But I remember somebody saying to me, do you want to come up to Shepton Mallet the first time the Glastonbury Festival was on? I think it was Dave White, actually.
I think the Shepton Mallet one was the Bath Blues and
Bath Blues
something
festival
which was a wonderful festival that we didn't get to go and see.
No, we didn't.
And people who went to it said, you won't believe
what
the sort of bands that were on there.
Would that have been the one that Stackridge and Boland played at? And was that the first one?
No, that was the first Glastonbury.
Oh, that's right.
Glastonbury opened the first... Stackridge opened the first Glastonbury festival.
Okay, so it's the Bath...
Yeah, and I think David Bowie played the first one as well on his own with an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
But now the Bath one, you had Canned Heat, you had Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
You had, I think you might have had someone like Grateful Dead, someone like that as well.
Right.
It was a big one,
so,
and I think some of the lucky ones in about the years two or three above
Dave
us.
Dave White probably
went.
Yeah.
And because it was one of these that went on.
Because I know
it was
suggested to me, and I either didn't have the money or the courage.
Well, I can remember it being suggested and saying it to my dad, and my dad saying, it's your O-level year. Your O-levels are
so
coming up
have
very
been
shortly.
16, mustn't be.
You're not going, basically.
Yeah.
So 16, yeah.
Which is
right, 1970. That's right, yeah.
I wish I hadn't missed it.
I've read things about it and think, oh, God, I wish I'd been to that, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
who are the bands that you wish you'd seen who you can't see now?
Oh, wish I'd seen that I can't see now. Well, obviously, the the Beatles are obviously the
we've
got to, but then again, we'd have to be an awful lot older than we were to have seen the Beatles live, wouldn't
and you
we, really?
Wouldn't have heard them because there'd be somebody screaming.
Somebody would scream, yeah. I think some of the Little Feet would have been quite good to see.
I'd like to have seen them, yes. Yeah. I would like to have seen Prince. I think he would have been great live. I heard he was great live.
I think just to have said I'd been there, Jimi Hendrix experience would have been interesting. I'm not.
True,
I was never as big a fan of him as.
No,
as
I never
some
had
people.
Any Hendrix records, but yeah, you're right.
There were certain things that he did that I thought were quite good. The Who, I'd quite like to have seen them in their absolute, you know, heyday.
Yes.
Never saw them.
Well, Jackie and I went to a music day, where the Who were playing.
Mm.
And it was so crowded, and we ended up behind the burger van, and we left before the Who came on.
Oh, well, goodness me.
So I could have seen Who, but
you could have seen.
I paid the ticket, but we didn't see them.
Wish I hadn't left.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who else. I mean, there's a few solo artists I would have quite liked to have seen. When they were at the top of their game, really. I've never seen Bob Dylan.
I've never seen Dylan, but I've never had any desire to.
No, I think Bob. I mean, to be horribly old-fashioned, I think I would have been one of the ones who'd wanted to see him just play his protest songs and play with an acoustic guitar rather than with the band and the electric stuff. I mean, it didn't really do it for me, but
I do feel lucky that I feel I've seen most of the people I would really really want to see. Mm. You know, most of my musical heroes, I suppose you call them.
Yeah,
what am I seeing? Joni Mitchell, actually.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
In fact, she's out again at the moment.
Is she?
Yeah,
is
80 she? Years old or something. She's even older than us. We should get back out there. That's a trail for another episode.
Yeah.
I don't think there is anybody else particularly that I can think of. Which is good, isn't it? That's kind of, you know, nice to
think
that.
When I look back on the people I wanted to see and I haven't seen, it's very few, really.
Any people, did you used to go to gigs, you know, because friends persuaded you to, or a girlfriend persuaded you to, and you were sort of rather, you know, resentful?
An ex-wife persuaded me to go and see...
Which one?
persuaded me to go and see Spandau Ballet.
Okay.
And I wasn't particularly looking forward to it. They weren't bad. They were all right.
Yeah.
And it was quite slick, and it was quite you know, well put together.
Yeah.
But it's not someone I would have said, "Oh, I must go and see."
No, I mean, I went to see a few with Jackie. Mm. And the Cockney Rebel.
Mm.
You know, she really liked. Who were the band who sang "Dreamer"?
Supertramp.
Yeah, they were okay. But then you see, you have some surprises because I went with someone who wanted to go and see Dire Straits.
Mm-hmm.
Never particularly liked Dire Straits. They were absolutely fantastic live. Really, really surprised me.
Now then, here's where we differ. Because I went to see Dire Straits in the NEC in Birmingham at the end of their world tour they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really looking forward to it. I thought, this is going to be fantastic. I love Mark Knopfler. I love his guitar playing. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a band go through the motions like they did
really?
That night. And I thought, that was very ordinary. And at the end of it, I can't remember the audience getting particularly excited at the end, because it was very much sort of just one number after another, and there was no flair to it at all.
Okay.
And I can remember being really, really disappointed.
Well, this was at Nebworth, and I'd been along to see Was Not Was.
Oh, yeah.
We were actually a little bit disappointing, funnily enough. And Dire Straits, who I hadn't been expected to enjoy, were really, really, really impressed me. So that was a kind of a strange one.
But to put that back together, though, I mean, there's a concert that I think that we both went to together in Birmingham, which was probably one of the best concerts we've seen.
But it was because we were hammered.
Well, I was thinking, no, I don't know about hammered. I mean, this was the one where
if
we
this
went.
Is the one I'm thinking.
I don't know, because I think this is a different one. I think you're thinking of the Small Faces.
I am thinking
which
of small
was
faces.
Brilliant, which
it was
we loved.
Good. Yeah.
But I was thinking of when we went to see An Evening with Steely Dan.
Oh yes, and that
was
one of you and me. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the great
1994.
Concerts. One of the great concerts.
And it's the first time they played in England. So yeah. Well, yeah. It was wonderful.
It was brilliant. And, yes. You know, my old school was just...
My old school, everybody just got out of their seats. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I saw them again, actually, in Canada with Joe.
Mm.
But Walter Becker had died by then.
Yeah. So he wasn't very good that
night. He was quiet. But it wasn't so good. But it was that. I mean, it was a particularly lovely venue, and it was just really nice to be. He treated me to it as a Father's Day present.
Yeah,
you know, it was a lovely evening, open auditorium, and you know, just wonderful. But I can think of another band I went to see who were massively disappointing, and that was a band called Fat Freddy's Drop, who were a New Zealand band, and I loved the CD, and I know Emily loved the CD. And I went with Liz to see it, and it was in Bristol.
Mm.
And they were so disappointing. they were really, really terrible.
Yeah, I mean, disappointing concerts. I when I was at college, my roommate and his friend, who didn't last at college very long, but they were massive, massive Incredible String Band fans.
People loved them, didn't they?
Now.
Never got it.
And they told me about how wonderful they were and how their songs were so different, all these instruments they used, and they knew everything about them. And I thought, well, I'll go and see them if I can, because they must be good. They're folk. I like folk music. Always have done.
Yeah.
And I went along to the Birmingham Town Hall and I saw them. I was at college at the time, and I went along, and I sat at Birmingham Town Hall, and there was only. I think the women who were in it, the two women who were with them were gone.
That's
by
right,
then.
Yes.
And it was
yes.
just the two of them, Robin Williamson
and Mike
Heron.
Yeah.
And they came on and they started playing all these peculiar instruments and singing what I thought was out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only when I realised later, when I'd heard an album of theirs, that that's how they sounded anyway.
Yes.
And they started singing and I thought, this is a bit ordinary, this.
Mm.
And then to cap it all, a man called Malcolm Le Maestre came on in a leotard and long tights and started literally doing interpretive dance.
Oh, that sounds like my sort of gig.
To what they were doing.
Wish I'd been there.
I can remember sitting there, shaking my head, my jaw dropping, thinking, what the... I'm going to swear. What the fuck is this?
Were you with your friend?
I was on my own.
Oh, right.
I was on my own, and I looked around, and I could see all these people enwrapped by this, thinking... This is absolute.
So they were loving
shite.
It. Okay.
They loved it, and I thought, this is awful.
Okay.
This is one of the worst,
isn't that interesting?
Worst experiences I've ever had. And I've tried recently on, you know, in the garden.
I've listened to them. And,
I've listened to some stuff on headphones, and I've thought again, they're not for me.
No.
They are not for me at all. Yeah. Don't get it.
But do you remember that I know you didn't go and see Free with me in the 70s,
Free, no.
But they were supported by. A band whose name I can't remember, who played medieval instruments.
Amazing Blondel.
Amazing Blondel. And I bought the album.
Mm.
And they were wacky, but they were really rather wonderful.
Clever.
And they were on a later album, Island Sampler.
Yes.
And it said that often they couldn't play a gig because their instruments were all out of tune, because they were so hard to tune that they actually couldn't play quite often, so they struggled to perform.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
the
other thing I was thinking of asking you was, because we were so heavily into music through the 70s, in the 80s, you know, when they talk about genre, you know, decades of music, 80s music is not my kind of thing,
dearth of good music. I mean, a lot of people love the 80s. I suppose they're slightly younger than us and they love the 80s. I've always said the 80s, apart from a few albums, was absolute just graveyard for music.
I tend to agree.
Awful.
You know, I mean, the stuff I think of from the 80s, I love Skritti Palitti.
Yep.
Steve Winwood's solo album.
Yes.
I like some of the Smiths.
Yeah, you see, I didn't like the Smiths at all.
But a lot of it, you know, was just listening, me still listening to 70s music.
70s music. Know? I mean, the album that I love from the 70s and still love is ABC's Lexicon of Love, mm-hmm. which I think is an absolute classic album. Mm-hmm. And I could still listen to that 70s, now.
Is it?
That's 80s.
Oh, 80s, 82,
83, something like that. Mm. And that, I think that's a really good one. But otherwise, I thought a lot of... Well, the 80s, I just lost interest completely.
I was still listening to artists from the 70s, yep. like Jackson Browne and Bonnie Raitt, who were still producing stuff and Steely Dan, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a bit of a lost era for me. Yeah. And then in the 90s, funnily enough, I sort of funnily found myself getting back into music in a different kind of music, mm. because I began to kind of like ambient-type music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And I'm struggling to think who I used to go and listen to then.
You didn't go off to Ibiza or anything, did you?
I didn't go to Ibiza, no. I did start going to gigs again, and saw quite a lot of gigs actually in the 90s. But there were people like, I can't say, talk amongst yourselves, because I'll have to come back. You know, I mean, that was a kind of a musical reinvention for me, because mm-hmm. I was buying albums and listening to albums and going to gigs again, which I've subsequently lost because I don't.
I think probably because of my
Groove Armada.
And
I saw them several times live. They were fantastic live, and I really liked. And that's a kind of an unusual type of music for me. And it was even reasonably cool with my kids, you know, which was quite interesting.
I must admit, once the 80s came along and I thought this music has died, basically, from a creative point of view, I hung on to the 70s and 60s stuff, really. And I got more into... I mean, I did reinvigorate my musical taste with... much more folk-based stuff.
You were very into that one.
And I got later on into Bella Head and into... it'll come to me. This is the problem with old age, John. The Crane Wife, and that was the album. I can't remember the band were at the moment. And it was, but again, it's very folk music-based, very story-based. Proper songs, if you like, really. And I think that's...
Well, that's kind of timeless music, isn't it? That's not of any particular decade. You know, that could have been produced in any decade.
And it was what sort of got me listening to stuff that had just recently been produced, rather than the old stuff again. Because I'd always like... I mean, Fairport Convention, I think, timeless. I mean, everything they've done has always been fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, they're still out there in their dotage, still touring and playing brilliantly.
Mm.
I mean, I saw...
I did go and see them again in the 90s. Mm.
I saw them at in Birmingham Town Hall when they decided, because of an anniversary, to do the whole of Babbicom Lee again,
mm-hmm.
which I love as an album.
Mm.
And of course it was note perfect. It was perfect. Mm. And they introduced Dave Swarbrick before he died up on stage, and it was like one of those moments you think, fantastic. You know, I've heard a classic album. There's the guy who wrote most of it.
Brilliant. I like that concept that bands do, where they play a whole album, a classic, like of course Wizard of True Star.
In the order that it was on the album. Because in the old days, that was an important thing, was the sequencing of the record.
Of course it was. And nowadays, I mean, because people download singles and, you know, one doesn't hear... Because, of course, you've got lots of albums where you like the tracks and then there's a duff track, isn't there?
Yes.
I can think of that, and you think to yourself, oh, I wish this, you know, and you would get up and lift the spines.
And move it on, yeah.
Or fast forward it through, you know, on the CD player, because you don't like that track. You don't have to do that now, because you download what you want.
You just listen to what you want.
So the album concept, which used to be so carefully thought out, you know, they open with this and then they have a sequence.
Yes.
Bands probably just don't bother with that anymore, do they, really?
No. It's not important anymore, is it?
No.
It's just a collection of songs, and, you know, people will play the ones they want to play.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, you go onto a lot of the streaming sites, and it just says, you know, a certain band, and it says Introduction 2, and you'll get all the stuff in different orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That completes our first album. We've realised this is going to be a double album podcast. The next instalment will be available shortly. Please visit the merch stall in the foyer as you exit the podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.